You're listening to Vatican Radio.
Millions of newborns die every year of preventable causes. In 2015, 2.7 billion newborns died within 1 month of their births, and three-fourths of them within the first week of life. There were an equal amount of stillborn babies, leaving families with the grief of mourning a child. The United States Agency for International Development has launched an initiative called Saving 1 Million Babies. Their objective is to work with interfaith networks to deliver high-impact interventions with the goal of saving the lives of 1 million newborn babies by 2020. USAID has the knowledge and necessary interventions to prevent many of these deaths. By applying this knowledge to a global scale, including the low-income nations where more than 90% of the deaths occur, they can increase the rate of newborn survival. Officials are present in Rome to attend the Justice and Peace Conference on Maternal and Child Health and also the Rare and Neglected Tropical Diseases Conference, as well as to spread the word of their new initiative. Ariel Pablos Mendez, Assistant Administrator at the Bureau for Global Health in the United States Agency for International Development, spoke with Vatican Radio's Linda Bordoni about the importance of working with interfaith networks in order to save the lives of newborns.
So we're here to talk about a new USAID initiative, Saving 1 Million Babies. Millions of newborns die every year of preventable causes. That is a disturbing statistic.
Indeed, Linda. In the year 2012, then-Secretary of State Hillary Clinton launched a call to action to end preventable child and maternal deaths. This happened not only because we are committed to the health of mothers and babies, but because there has been an unprecedented success in saving their lives. In the 60s, there were nearly 20 million deaths of children. By 1990, after the first child survival revolution, there were only 12.5 million deaths, despite doubling of the population. Now we are less than 6 million. And it was that trajectory that allowed us to model the possibility of ending preventable child maternal death, not a slogan, but an actual fact defined not by zero deaths, but a convergence between the OECD rich countries and the rest of the world. And this is happening. Our generation will deliver the end of preventable child maternal death. So the call to action was to make us all aware of the progress and the possibility for our generation to gift our civilization the end of preventable child maternal death. There's been a lot of progress since. In fact, even though we are now reaching the hardest to reach, mortality has accelerated as it declines. And that's fantastic. Most of the interventions and the focus were on children who die from, back then, the main causes, diarrhea, malaria, pneumonia.
Are we speaking about newborn babies here? What is the,
yes,
the age range?
Right. So the success of this against these problems, which happens to kill older kids, has meant that now half the deaths of children are occurring in the first month of life. In fact, a large number occur in the first minute, in the golden minute. And the leading causes of death of the newborn are prematurity, asphyxia, and sepsis. So this realization that the progress in newborn has not been as successful as the others has called for a movement to focus on the newborn. And we have been doing a lot of things, from working globally with partners, technical partners, the World Health Organization, the American Academy of Pediatrics, and the like, to agree on what are the interventions that in poor settings could then save the lives of newborn. We cannot have intensive care units everywhere, but we don't need them. We have a lot of interventions that can do this very successfully in resource-poor settings. It is this new effort tackling newborns that brings us to Rome today. In particular, while we are working both on the clinical settings to train nurses and community health workers on, say, resuscitation so that children will not die in asphyxia, and there are many other interventions that could help us save the lives of the newborn. Simple things like washing your hands, breastfeeding, kangaroo care, which is bringing a preemie baby skin to skin with the mom. These are very powerful interventions. We do clinical trials on these just like we do for new medicines, and you can show that mortality can be cut by half by this simple intervention. Many of those families do not know. They may have costumes that were different from these. And so the effort of saving 1 million lives is, and we're coming to Rome to invite the Vatican to be a co-convener of an effort in the interfaith community to bring the moral authority of the religious leaders in the pulpit, in the classroom, in the communities, to galvanize social behavior change through synchronized messaging next year. We are going to be having a follow-up to the call to action in 2012. Last year we had a ministerial conference in India that was co-sponsor of the regional conference, and the other co-sponsor was Ethiopia. So next year, the Ethiopian government in April will be hosting the ministerial conference on acting on the call to end preventable child maternal death. And our visit here with the Vatican is to discuss a partnership to convene the rest of the interfaith community in Addis to then implement this effort. The effort targets simple behaviors, which are we call it accelerator behaviors, but we're not asking for perfection. We have estimated that simply getting countries to catch up with their best neighbors in Africa, and that's the targets that allow us to estimate that in 4 to 5 years, 1 million babies' lives could be saved by this simple behavioral change intervention.
Well, it comes to my mind that the church is in fact in a unique position to be able to lever this initiative, and because of its incredibly wide-reaching arms in countries, in developing countries. When you say you're here in the Vatican, you're actually here for a conference, or you're here for talks, or you're here to set in motion a partnership. What exactly, how is that going to develop?
All of them up.
Okay.
We have just had a lunch, which involved Monsignor Charles and a few others. And yesterday we were gathering at the Pontifical Academy of Sciences to discuss maternal health. It's true that you mentioned the grassroots power of religious organization of the church all the way to the top. Pope Francis has been very committed to the poor and very committed to families. In Laudato Si, this is very explicit.
And reaching the peripheries.
Yes. And so this is a great opportunity to bring that leadership, sorry, to validate it in a way to say 1 million children lives. We had a meeting yesterday, as I said, the meeting was on Cardinal Turkson and Monsignor Tomasi, but also private sector organizations, NGOs, representatives of faith base and so on, to discuss this agenda. Also, at the same time, next year is an opportunity because Italy will be hosting the G7. And so health will be one of the priority areas for the G7. And we also enjoy the presence of Ambassador Sapia, that is an advisor to Prime Minister Renzi, and will convey a declaration that came out of the meeting yesterday to elevate maternal child health in the G7 agenda, including support for a new global financing facility for every woman, every child. That will be the equivalent we had last decade with the Global Fund for AIDS, TB, malaria. This will be dedicated to save the lives of mothers and babies and involve financing with World Bank so that the countries can have a bit more skin in the game within their own resources in the sector. We're also here at the end of the week, the Vatican Annual Conference of the Health Provided Networks. This year is devoted to the poorest, the most neglected diseases. And it's going to be an important conversation that relates to our efforts, but it's also quite targeting of those parasitic diseases of the poorest. And we have seen a lot of progress there too.
So you are going to be present at the conference. If I'm not mistaken, it starts on the 10th, from the
Thursday.
10th to the 12th. Right. So in what kind of message are you bringing to that conference?
Well, the message is that these diseases, which you call neglected tropical diseases, are not so neglected anymore. We've been paying a lot of attention. They do affect the most neglected people, the poorest in more remote areas. And these are parasitic diseases, many of them, you know, that you've seen in movies with kids with big bellies or people with elephantiasis in their legs. And many of these diseases do not kill you, but they literally suck your blood. And they really ruin the life of people and their potential, especially the children. And we now have very simple medicines that one of the key things for us is that by focusing on the most important of them, we can deliver mass drug administration that do not require doctors or even nurses. But in communities, they can provide these medicines. And over time now, the world is now reaching 1 billion people treatments already. And this has been possible, great partnerships, not only the U.S. government with the governments of Great Britain and the Melinda and Gates Foundation and many other NGOs and philanthropic efforts. But importantly, the pharmaceutical industry has come forward with a historical donation program, the largest in history. They have donated over $12 billion in medicines against the disease. So the entities are not as neglected anymore, but we're coming now with a message of good news. The progress is amazing. These diseases are melting away. Many diseases like biblical diseases like leprosy is now down 95%. Onchocerciasis, river blindness, guinea worm diseases, these diseases are disappearing. The effort has been so successful that the World Health Organization is now targeting the elimination of several of these, and country after countries are beginning to declare success. So it's a good moment of the progress of our commitment to the most neglected populations, and this is an example.
Yesterday, when the secretary of the Pontifical Council for Health healthcare workers presented the conference in the Vatican. He said to think of it as within the context of the Year of Mercy. And he pointed out that delivering this kind of aid is very much a merciful act that we can deliver. So it's a fitting end to this Year of Mercy. Have you ever thought of it?
As you know, today we have a big election in the United States, you may have heard. But the support for these causes have enjoyed bipartisan support. Both the Republicans and the Democrats in Congress, the NGOs and the faith-based organizations. Mercy is a good word. We have been using compassion as well. And I think that for many in Congress, helping save the life of a poor kid in Africa, there's no like a big political negotiation in New Jersey. It is pure compassion and it's the right thing. But more so for the church that, of course, embodies mercy and compassion. So, yes, the neglected tropical disease is a good example. Saving 1 million lives of the poorest babies, a great example as well.
Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Linda.
That was Ariel Pablos Mendez, Assistant Administrator at the Bureau for Global Health in the United States Agency for International Development.